podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social. It is Tour Live. It's a very well-timed Tour Live coming in after 12 o'clock and the news breaking about Leeds versus Liverpool, more accurately Liverpool versus Leeds. That is to come. We will have a little bit of chat about that towards the end of the show. We've got some excellent work done as well that John's been up to. George, want to let the listeners know?
Yeah, two or three weeks ago now, people will have seen the latest in Nivea Men's Dear Liverpool videos. They've done five now. They're absolutely brilliant. And this latest one, no exception. It's all to do with the Andy Nolan charity and a donor who met a match for the first time at Anfield. And it was a really special video. It's been around everywhere. I'm sure everyone's seen it. So we just want to give that a big push. But obviously the charity and they're always looking for new donors and things like that, a big push. So we've given all of the middle segments over to Andy Nolan and to Nivea Men as part of this campaign. So we're speaking to Ethan and Libby, who were the two stars, obviously, along with Alison Becker to a lesser degree of the video. And then we've got Rebecca from the charity itself, just a bit more information on how people can get involved and donate either blood or stem cells or of course financial donations as well. So yeah, I've done both of those, really enjoyed them, and hopefully everyone will too.
Indeed, it is on its way through to you. That is coming as well, as comments are coming in as we're doing it, saying that we've that the game is postponed against Leeds. Yes, indeed, we know that. We'll have a little chat about that towards the end. The other thing that's happening as well whilst we're recording this, or around the time we're recording this, is the managers are meeting with the Premier League as well to discuss the general issue around the fixtures and where we're all up to on that. But we'll park all of that for now, because we'll talk about Mike Bancall, what became an absolute banger of a football match. It was cold at Anfield, Mike. I'm not going to lie to you. The rain on the way in to Anfield was torrential. It all felt very onomatopoeic. It all felt as though it was all going to go badly wrong in one way or the other. And then Leicester scored the two goals that they scored. But what a performance from Liverpool. What fight they showed, and what a fantastic night we had in the end.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable night. Like, I think with League Cup games, we all go into those games with less pressure as fans, because they're games to enjoy. You know, we know the importance we have when it comes to Champions League and Premier League. Those are our priorities as a club. And just yesterday, just what a laugh that was. Like, Paul Gorse has a thing where he says the League Cup is more fun than the FA Cup, because you get evenings like that. And like, we've had so many of those in the League Cups. We've had the Arsenal game a few years back where we went on penalties as well. And that was just a cracking game. And I was so desperate to win it when their fans started singing Feed the Scousers. Like, with the League Cup, I'm always just like, you know, whatever happens, happens. But when I heard that, like, I feel like such a visceral anger when I hear that, and I'm like, we have to beat Visa. Like, I was so invested. It felt like a Champions League final. By the end of it, I was absolutely going crazy in my living room watching the game. So just so happy we won it. And there's so many good performances. I think a lot of players that did well yesterday are players that we're going to need moving forward in the next month or so, as we have loads of games and also going to be without Sadio and Mo, which has obviously been, we've been preparing for that for quite some time. But I thought Neco Williams did fantastically at right back. I thought, you know, Shimikas was good again last night. I thought James Milner comes on and does really well. And yeah, with the second half performance, to me, was really encouraging seeing Canarsie do so well. And just what a night, honestly. Like, we're in the semi-final now. There's every chance we win this competition that people apparently say Jurgen Klopp doesn't care about. Well, actually, he might start caring a lot about this competition now.
It is, Ian, it is just utterly spectacular the way in which the game unfolds. You know, to talk about whether or not the manager cares about the competition, I have watched the winner back from all angles, which could be my favourite feat of new media across the last 12 months, is being able to watch magnificent Liverpool goals put back from all angles over and over again on loop. And Klopp and Linders go absolutely berserk when it goes 3-3. They lose their shit like nothing on earth, as does the whole ground. It is really strange. change how a competition, if we go right the way back to the away game against Norwich, we would all have been of the view, well, it's good to get some lads a little bit of time, but ultimately it doesn't really matter, to the point that when that ball drops to Takumi Minamino, on all the coverage, you can hear the ground make this noise of something is about to happen, and then when it does, it utterly explodes.
Absolutely, Neil. I am someone who always wants to do well in the domestic cups. I like to see us go far, but I also understand the bigger picture. We've got a slightly smaller squad than maybe one or two others, and you've got to factor that in. The games come ever so quick and fast. So the League Cup's become one of those where you want to go through, of course you do, but sometimes if you go out, it's one of them. And therefore, it might not always feel like the most important thing. But then last night, it quickly became the very most important thing, beating them. And that's what we did. And it's testament to kind of everyone, really, you know, the manager included. I thought maybe he got a selection wrong. I think it's fair to say that. I think it was maybe one or two kids too many. But he doesn't hesitate. He does not hesitate. And at half time, he makes the three substitutions, which was the right thing to do. It was a time for calm heads. It was a time for cool heads. We absolutely get that. Everyone settles down a little bit. The crowd gets on top of them and they have a really, really poor 45, but take nothing away. Liverpool were magnificent in that second 45.
It felt, John, it felt, you know, all the way down to the reaction of not just Jota after he scores the penalty towards their end, but Nico Williams goes and has a go as well. It really felt like Anfield just went, no fucking way. Absolutely not today. We're not. And that was matched. I think the manager's substitutions, you know, I always say this with the manager, I think at times, like, he'd almost rather not pick a strong bench, because once he's playing a football match, he wants to win that football match like nothing on earth. Like, if you've had his life, that's the thing that happens. The idea of resting anyone, you know, I reckon if he'd have had Salah and Mane on there, they'd have been on at half time. And that's where he sort of ends up mentally, you know. The only bit of lip service to there's a bit of fixture congestion piling up with Shimikas coming off with 10 to go. Everything else became, how do we win this game? Because my God, we've got to send these home miserable.
Yeah, I think you're right, Neil. I think if, you know, Mo Salah would have been knocking about, he'd have ended up sort of on there. We make four subs, don't we, in the end? I don't know if they do the fifth, or maybe he's looking for Mo Salah. Like, someone check if he's in the stands. Yeah, I mean, him or Mane come to watch him, so I'll throw him on. But yeah, I mean, the winners, aren't they, and the competitors. And like Mike says, that, you know, the atmosphere around it just sort of spikes you into, you know, being going from, I'm not too bothered about this, to suddenly this is the most important game that Liverpool have ever played in their existence, and that's sort of, you know, where we all sort of ended up, really. And yet it was some let off, because it was similar to Wolves in that you think there's one in it for us, and then just when you think it's gone, something wonderful happens. And I mean, I don't know how he's got so much space, you know, there. I mean, indeed, he misjudges the header, does it? I think basically what happens, but it's unreal how much space he finds himself in, considering it's that stage of the game. And yeah, some let off, some celebration, and yeah, delighted for them, really, you know, for the players who obviously played the full game, for the lads who came on, who made the big impact. And yeah, it was just really good fun. It was a lovely Wednesday night before Christmas. And I think, you know, I mentioned on the post-match show we did after the games, you know, it was a really, really fun one. I'd encourage everyone to listen, you know, use your tokens if you don't subscribe to listen to it last night, because it was great fun. But, you know, we sort of concluded as well, there was a little bit of yin going up. 55,000 of these mad heads have come out 3 days before Christmas for this game.
It's freezing. Poured down. You'd best do something here, you know, lads. You'd best pull this together.
Yeah, we need to sort this for these lot, for these mad bastards. And that's what he did. And I'm pleased, because he's one of the mad bastards. He might be the maddest of bastards.
There's lots of little bits and pieces, lots of little stories in the game, Ian. And I agree with you. I think it isn't just even quite the nature that he ends up with one too many young players. It's that two of them are down the same flank, and then one of them's at centre-half and the other one's at holding midfield. And that isn't great either, you know. And I think Kometio especially just found himself just out of his depth a little bit. Playing up against Jamie Vardy, it's not unreasonable to find yourself a little bit out of your depth. They're the negatives. The positives, I thought Naby Keita was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
He just came on and it was like he'd been watching the game on the sidelines, just working out exactly how he dismantled Leicester. And then the manager went, well, go ahead, then half an hour go and dismantle Leicester, will you?
They couldn't get near him, Neil. Quite simply, they could not get near him. He was willing to take the ball in any space, drive at them, which he did countless times. His way to pass was excellent. And it was an Naby Keita that, you know, he's in there. You know, you know that player exists. It's just seeing him more often. And I think, you know, there's real green shoots with Naby. I think there's been a number of appearances this season where he has looked like the player we thought we were getting, or some kind of form of that player. He was brilliant last night. He wasn't the only one. I think Canate comes on, makes a huge difference. I agree with the Kometio point. You feel sorry for him. You don't want to dig anyone out here because that's not what we're about. It was always going to be a challenge. Listen, Jamie Vardy has taken far more experienced players to the cleaners than Kometio, and it was always going to be a tough night. And I think putting him next to a Joe Gomez, who is clearly nowhere near his best level yet, understandably so, I would say. And I think one or two people maybe just need to kind of calm down a little bit on the Joe Gomez stuff, because he's hardly played any football in about, what, 15, 16 months. It's going to take him a long time. So I think just putting them two together, it felt like it was going to cause a problem, and it did cause a problem. Leicester got experience up top. They took advantage. But then Liverpool get a grip of this game second half. And I think, you know, you talk about great nights at Anfield, and there's a back catalogue as long as your arm. And there's no doubt there's bigger ones than what happened last night, certainly more historic ones. But if you talk about fight and determination and desire and commitment to get over the line, that's got to be right up there when you talk in those terms. It was simply brilliant from everyone on the pitch, but also everyone in the stands as well. And I think the manager was, you know, you've seen us, or I'm sure people will have seen us interview with Jan-Arko Fjortoff. He spoke glowingly, not only about kind of his time at the club, but actually, you know, the fans last night, they kind of really, really lived up to what a really good Anfield experience should look and feel like. But no doubt, you know, one or two of those players have done themselves no harm, Neil, going into a festive period where maybe the manager's looking at it now. And there's people like Naby Keita, there's people like Oxlade-Chamberlain who are really pushing for a midfield spot. I think Canate, you know, he's someone similar who, you know, you think maybe he's behind Matip and Virgil, and he probably is. But you look at him and you go, well, if any one of them has to come out, you've got no qualms whatsoever putting Canate in there. It was another brilliant performance from him as well.
I think the Keita aspect, Mike, I've long sort of felt that Keita, you know, at his best for us, could be a bit of a flat track bully. But my point about this, though, is that Keita's flat track could take him all the way up to, say, Conte's Tottenham, if you see what I mean. That can be the absolute level. That's what I mean here. You know, he can flat track bully Leicester. That was a Leicester midfield that finishes the game with Tielemans and Maddison in, and they can't touch Naby Keita. They, you know, they weren't absolutely weak as anything or anything like that, but he comes on and he's able to utterly dominate proceedings. And for me, you know, if that is the trajectory that he's going on here, you can use a phrase like flat track bully, be accurate, but it could still apply to 28 to 32 games a season. They're flat tracks for Naby Keita because he could be that good.
Yeah, I think, listen, Naby Keita has actually had, like, for me, a pretty good season up until this point. The injury came at a really awkward time for him because he was hitting his stride and really doing well up until that point. We saw him against Man United do really, really well. And like you say, he's a flat track bully against Leicester. And when we talk about Leicester's midfield, there are midfielders in there that people are talking about potentially playing for the top four clubs. So Tielemans is obviously one that's been linked to Liverpool, been linked to Man City, I think, at times. Ndidi is one that always gets raved about. And you just see Naby Keita absolutely run the show. Madison's another one people rave about and talk about him being potentially a top four player. So yeah, now I'm really excited about Naby Keita. It's a shame we're going to lose him in January as well, because I feel like with the games we have coming up in January, a few of the games, if you look at Brentford and Crystal Palace, those are the sort of games Naby Keita dominates. And as this record, like our record with Naby Keita starting midfield, is actually really exceptional when it comes to the number of goals he score and the number of wins we get. Like we rarely lose games when Naby Keita starts in midfield for Liverpool Football Club. So it is a real shame he's going to be missed in January, but the potential when he comes back is absolutely extraordinary, because he is, like you said, a flat track brilliant, someone who has exceptional potential. We saw that yesterday.
It's one, Ian also mentions Canate, John. I think that the extent to which I thought Gomez looked better second half as well next to Canate makes the error first half, which is a bit of a clangor, and we're lucky not to get punished. Beyond that sort of point, I felt as though the general sort of recovery pace from both of them looked stronger second half. We saw the same thing with Gomez at Preston, where first half he looked a little sluggish and second half he grew into it. There has got to be a bit of a plan to get him minutes, I think, because we do want to be able to use that football that there could be. And him and Canate just looks as though it's potentially a lovely partnership.
Yeah, he went up sort of several levels than Lijo Gomez, second half having a more sort of dependable partner alongside. I mean, it's a tough sell that, you know, first half really for Gomez, and I thought it was almost a bit of an unfair ask really, you know, because he's playing with, fair enough, a left back who's played well this season, but a rookie right back, and then Billy Cometio, who people have got hopes for, and that's fine, but looks miles off, you know, being a player who can play against, you know, someone of the caliber of Vardy at the moment, and obviously Dakar as well, you know, the front two there. So, you know, Joe Gomez at his absolute peak, I think, would have struggled first half, and he's obviously not there at the moment yet, but I'm sure he'll sort of get back. So I think it was a tough ask. Second half, along with Konate, he looked much more comfortable. He looked like, you know, the whole responsibility of Liverpool not conceding wasn't sort of on his shoulders, and he saw much more of the Gomez that we know he's in there, and we know the sort of caliber of player that he is. I think he's having to make a few adjustments. He feels like he's given himself half a yard a little bit more, having to anticipate things a little bit more. But to an extent, Virgil's had to do that as well. Sort of coming back from the injury and getting back to sharpness. So that just shows he's clever as well as a natural athlete and as well as a really good footballer. So he'll be fine, Gomez. Look, he'll be glad that Vardy wanted the post, won't you? Because that was a real clanger just before half time. And if that goes in, it's 4-1, and we're probably not all smiling now. We've just been beat 5-1 by Leicester, and there's no game on Boxing Day. It's our reality. So let's thank the footy gods for whoever put that extra bit.
The saints of goalposts.
Whoever made that one a bit thicker and a bit more bouncy.
Yeah, St. Maxi Rodriguez of goalposts. There is, I'll just come back to you on it, John. I thought for full 90 performances, I think you see Firmino tire, I think, a little bit, which isn't unreasonable. I thought Chamberlain was tremendous. I thought he was from minute one, and the idea that he grabbed this, I am one of the senior players, even up to and including, Andy pointed out to me when they were getting ready to do the pens, Chamberlain works with Kelleher. He does a little thing where he fires some balls at Kelleher, ones that are hard enough to make him feel like he's doing something, but easy enough for him to be able to get. Do you know what I mean? And I just thought little things like that to see from Chamberlain all the way through the match. He wants to be, I think, a leader within this team. To do that, he needs to get the games. But at the minute, he's never letting anyone down when he gets on the pitch.
No, I thought he was very good, especially, you know, first half when he needed to be, and showing that leadership. I thought much of the play was coming down the right because Henderson was driving it, and you understand that. But when Chamberlain was on the ball, if you're going to be ultra critical, there was a couple of times where he maybe ran it a little bit too far. But I think that's just because he's trying to make things happen. And like you say, Neil, he's putting emphasis on himself, especially in that first half as a senior player. So I think if he'd have had the likes of Salah and Mane up front, I think he would have released it a little bit quicker in certain instances rather than dribbling and you know, either losing the ball or going into touch, which sort of happened, you know, a couple of times as well. But, you know, you want to see that from him, really. You want to see him putting responsibility on his own shoulders. And it's a lovely goal. It's a really nice finish. The more you see, you appreciate it. You know, I wasn't even sure if it took a deflection or what. When I was in the ground, I was just pleased it had gone in the back of the net. But when you see it, there's not that much of the goal he could hit that with, really. And he really places it into that corner. He doesn't smash it, which is the easiest thing to do when a ball breaks feel like that. He strokes it into the corner. It's a really, really nice finish. And yeah, I mean, Mike there was talking about hopefully a big 2022 for Keita, and I agree. We, you know, we could say the same for Chamberlain, really. And, you know, a few months left on his contract, he'd be desperate to impress, desperate to finish the season well. And let's all hope so, because he does add something to our midfield when he's fit and going.
On that, and in general, a little eye on January, Ian, I liked, and again, they're playing against Premier League footballers here, let's be clear, better level than Brentford or Crystal Palace. I liked how Jota and Firmino linked up. We're obviously going to have to play at least some games, you know, we'll still see what happens, but we're going to have to play some games without Salah and Mane and Keita, as has been mentioned. But I liked, it felt as though there's a little bit of understanding there. And then in amongst there as well, whether it's Origi or Minamino who plays with either of them or both of them, the idea that Origi and Minamino have now both got last minute goals for Liverpool is no bad thing either.
100%. I think, just in terms of Minamino, I mean, you can't underestimate just what a tough finish that is as well. You know, the context of the game, it's the very, very last seconds as well. And he's taken that down so well, but it's such a difficult finish from where he is. I think actually his finish and Jota's probably a little bit underrated. Really, really, really good finishes in pressure moments. I thought Firmino was good. Jota, I mean, my God, you run out of things to say because he is just unbelievable at the minute. I mean, every time he takes to the pitch, it looks like he's going to score. I was a little bit surprised he wasn't in the first five in terms of the penalties. I have to say that. Especially when you see his penalty that he tucks away. I mean, it's ruthless.
Just go back to your Vardy, he doesn't take one.
Vardy, I believe, had a hamstring injury, is what I've picked up this morning. They were a little bit unsure about him. He had a little kind of, he felt something in his hamstring. So I can only assume it was that. Jota takes his. It's a great finish. I wasn't totally convinced Minamino would kind of slot his pen, if I'm being really honest. Even though he'd taken that goal so well earlier on, it doesn't always translate. And I was a little bit nervous about his kind of walk-up and stuff. But the Jota one, and then to do what he did in front of their end, Neil, I mean, my God, what a fucking, what a lad. Honestly, I must have watched it back about 10 times because it's just, if you were there yourself, if you were taking that penalty yourself, that's exactly what you do. That's exactly what any of us would do. And he does that. He lives that moment. He gives it to them. They fucking deserved it, by the way. And it was brilliant from Jota. But as I said before, you run out of things to say now because he's been sensational since he walked through the door. He really has. I think there's been times where, you know, people have pointed at certain things and said, well, he goes missing in one or two games. Listen, that might happen. But you know what? He more than makes up for it with those moments where he's just tremendous. He knows exactly where to be. Real top-notch penalty box player. But actually, there's a little bit more to his game than that. And it will be interesting in January because obviously we are going to be worried about Salah. We are going to be worried about Mane and losing those players. And we don't know what January looks like yet in terms of fixtures. We certainly know the way that the League Cup ones fall. They're not going to be available for that, which is a real shame because I think you're at the point now where when you get to a quarter final, when you get to semi final, you're not far away. Take it seriously. Try if you can to play as many of your best lads as you possibly can. And I was keen for us to go a little bit stronger last night. I'm keen for us to go as strong as we possibly can against Arsenal. I know it falls either side of the Shrewsbury game if it ends up being two legs. And you're obviously worried about COVID and you're worried about injuries and stuff around the games. But hopefully we can push on from it because it would be nice to get a domestic cup in the cabinet.
This is one where the Shrewsbury game actually being Shrewsbury own, Mike, you know, to look ahead there, it means if you've got a couple of games lined up there where you can play Jota and the game's against Arsenal, they're not the game against Shrewsbury. That's not to say Shrewsbury will be a walk in the park, but from a Liverpool point of view, you know, I do think that there's a thing here where if we suddenly find ourselves in the sixth round of the FA Cup, absolutely fine. But, you know, if we're prioritising a domestic cup run, well, in one of them right now, we are in the semi-final. Do you know what I mean? It's there for us now. And I think you will see Liverpool go pretty strong in the semi off the basis of the fact that at least after that first game, it is only Shrewsbury. And I mean that with the greatest of respect, but it is only Shrewsbury on the Saturday in the FA Cup.
Yeah, with the greatest respect to Shrewsbury, it's a game we can afford to rest a few players in. And actually, the way the games fall means that you can actually go strong in, if there are two legs, you can go strong in both of those games. And now that we're in the semi-final, we're the strongest team left in this competition. I don't really fear anyone that's left in the competition. So why not go and win it? We'd all have a day out in Wembley in February, hopefully in the kind of spring or something, whatever it is, if it gets delayed. And yeah, why not go and win it? Like, the League Cup, for me, like I said, we've had so many fun nights in the League Cup in the last few years. And like, our record in domestic cups is one that, like Ian mentioned earlier, is a bit frustrating. I understand why. Listen, it's not a priority. We're a club that exists to win the Champions League and the Premier League. Those are always going to be our kind of bread and butter. So to kind of go on a nice little run, beat Arsenal on the way to kind of hopefully winning this cup would be really nice.
It would be indeed really, really nice. It's a strong opportunity for them, John. Before we get into the inserts, it is a strong opportunity for them. It's also, you get the impression here, we're surrounded by Liverpool players who have had and will hopefully continue to have absolutely glittering careers. But this is the option for a couple of them who may, you know, there's every chance, for instance, Minamino moves on next summer. But it'd be absolutely fabulous for him to get to play his part in this quarterfinal, in the things that have gone before then, in what comes next, in, you know, in a semi-final and maybe even in a final. Because I think the manager will actually have a bit of an attitude of, I'll back the lads who brought us to the dance if Liverpool go all the way in this. That is what he'll want to do, and then he'll have his options from the bench. There's footballers here who've got the opportunity to really, really get to have enjoyed being Liverpool players one way or the other.
Yeah, Kelleher's the interesting one. If he gets to the final, what he sort of does with him, because he's obviously, you know, been the hero of the quarter and been there all the way through. So I think he'll go pretty strong, especially if he's, look, he's, if he gets to the final, he's going to be up against Tuchel or Conte, and I just don't think he'll be able to help himself in terms of wanting to win that game and win the trophy. So I think there might be a few lads a little bit disappointed. But listen, if they are disappointed, you know, by the final, then, you know, in terms of the team selection, as you say, Neil, they can still reflect on what they've done to help the team get us there, if indeed we do get past Arsenal in the semi-final, which won't be straightforward at all, because, you know, you want Liverpool players to have big nights, don't you? You want Liverpool players to look, be able to look back on their career and say, you know, well, that was great for me. Yeah, I did it, that. And that was what's been really nice about, you know, the couple of the cup runs recently. You know, we haven't gone on to win it, but there've been, you know, the great game against Everton, you know, at home with the Curtis Jones one, and lads like Chiravella, who have been knocking around the club for quite a long period, you know, we're now able to do interviews if they have and say, but those games were brilliant, and I really showed that I was a Liverpool player when I was a quality player. So yeah, we have had some big nights in the cup, and listen, last night was brilliant. I absolutely loved it. I had a fantastic time and was absolutely made up. I was pulling my tongue out like Diego Jota all the way home.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. Thank you very much for your comments coming in. We'll do a little bit more of them in a couple of minutes or so. We're going to have a chat about the Leeds game being postponed. But before then, John, spoke to Libby and Ethan, from the Nivea Men video, Dear Liverpool, around Anthony Nolan and the charity and all the fantastic work that it does. And then also, we've got Rebecca Pritchard from Anthony Nolan to discuss all their brilliant work. Do take time, have a listen to this. Thanks a lot to John for doing it, and also for Libby, Ethan and Rebecca for all giving up their time as well. It is the Anfield Wrap Live. If you're not able to listen to that as the podcast, we're just going to flip back around now and we'll be talking about Leeds United.
And it's John Gibbons for Tour Live, and I'm delighted to be joined by two very special guests now. I'm sure you'll have seen over the last few weeks a fantastic video. It's the latest installment of the Nivea Men Dear Liverpool campaign, the fifth and my personal favourite, I must have to say. Oh, there's been some, you know, absolutely incredible stories, but this one really sort of touched a lot of people. And I've got the true stars, forget about Alison Becker, the two stars of that video, I've got Ethan and Libby on with me. Guys, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'll start with you, Ethan. I guess it's been a bit of a whirlwind. We've been texting and stuff like that. I text you the next day just saying, like, love the video. I'm going to leave you alone, but I bet life's mad. And you were like, yeah, it is a bit, mate, yeah.
The days after the video were just unbelievable. If we're being honest, I felt like I couldn't, like, put my phone down and pick it back up without having some sort of notification, whatever it was. So that felt so strange, but it was so great to see just the amount people were sharing it and the amount of attention it was getting, because I mean, that's the main thing. So that was the bit I was most happy about, was the fact it was just getting shared and shared. It was great.
Yeah, and for you, Libby, obviously you want to do something special for Ethan because he'd done something so wonderful for you. I loved Ethan's face throughout the whole thing on the video. His wonder at every sort of moment. That must have been wonderful for you to see him just so happy with all the developments across the day.
Yeah, like what we were saying, we didn't know how to repay him because, you know, like, he did such a big thing for me and I wanted to do such a big thing for him as well. And we knew that he loved Liverpool, so this was like the perfect thing to do for him. And you could just tell that he loved it, and that just made me so happy.
Yeah, absolutely. So Alison Becker then, Ethan. I've not met Alison. He seems like the nicest guy in the world. You said that at the end of the video.
Really, really lovely guy. Just like, that moment of when he walked out, I just could not believe it. And he was just, because there was a moment where we had to walk down to the pitch from where I first met him, and he was just chatting to me, asking me about me, what I did and everything. And he was just so down to earth and nice that made me so much calmer and more relaxed. Just the fact that he was just so nice made it easier.
Yeah, and the videos obviously exploded. I guess, I mean, it must be a little bit strange for you, Libby, because, you know, me and Ethan both live in Liverpool world, if you like, and we see, you know, how big these things get. But you're obviously not a Liverpool supporter. You say that sort of in the video. So were you surprised just how big it all got, really, and how much, you know, the views were just going through to the hundreds of thousands on YouTube?
Yeah, I did not expect it to blow up as much as it did. I just did want it to do something for Ethan and, like, raise awareness. But I'm just so happy it did, because it, you know, like, it's just raised so much awareness for Anthony Nolan, and, you know, it's all for a good cause, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit more about the process you went through, Ethan, because you touched on it in the video, and I've talked a little bit about it with Rebecca from Anthony Nolan, who's coming up, but you've sort of lived that experience, really.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, and Rebecca talks about, you know, some misconceptions of people thinking, you know, that they understand it when they don't. What was the process like for you from sort of, you know, that first moment where you thought, well, I will sign up to I guess, you know, doing the procedure?
Yeah, so I think I signed up in, I think it was 2014-15, I think. And then, I mean, I didn't hear anything until, what, 2018. So a part of me had truly forgot that I'd signed up. And then obviously when they call you, I remember they called and they said, and I was thinking, what is that? Obviously then they explain,
yeah, everything, yeah.
And you're like, oh, of course I remember. And then at that first phone call, they obviously just, they explain what the process is, what's going to happen. And they explained it amazingly, which again made me feel so much better. And then you go for, like, your full body, you know, your checkup and everything to see if you're all good. And the doctors and everything that did that for me were, again, superb. And then obviously you get the date of when you're going to donate. And obviously I donated the bone marrow, which means, like, getting put under and stuff and everything like that. And I'd never been put under before or anything, but so I was a bit nervous about that. But again, the doctor explained it to me so well, so I didn't feel nervous at all. And then the procedure was you get put to sleep, so the next thing I know I'm waking up. So and I was really sore, and because they took it out of my lower back is where they got it from. So for like 3 weeks after that, I think I was really sore, couldn't really move. But after that, I felt absolutely fine. It's because I had people message me after the video saying they're going to sign up, but they were a bit nervous. And I was like, honestly, I get that because that was me, but they will look after you so well. And it's honestly way easier than, like, the operation isn't as scary as you think it's going to be, for sure.
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, that's really sort of interesting to hear. I'm sure it'll be really good for people to hear. And I guess for you, Libby, you know, it's someone doing something that's, you know, a procedure and still quite, you know, a scary thing, as Ethan says, to do, but you're, you know, living proof that what a huge difference it can make to someone's life.
Yeah, definitely. And it was actually 3 years ago yesterday that he donated, so he had to be over Christmas and in hospital, you know, like being ill and stuff. So I do really appreciate everything he's done. But yeah, it was my third wee birthday yesterday.
Oh amazing. Well happy anniversary birthday, whatever it is, all the best. And so, you know, on the day, you know, the look, we all watched the video. There's Alison there. You guys are at Anfield. There's the emotional moment, you know, that you guys meet and stuff like that. But then there's a few extra surprises from Nivea Men thrown in there as well. The accommodation for your first year university, which I thought was really great. But, you know, VIP trip to Anfield must have been sort of busy special. As someone who's only ever sat in the cheap seats, you guys have got to tell me what it was like. So, Ethan, your first trip to Anfield, and it's like, it's red carpet.
I mean, it was unbelievable. I didn't know what to expect, which I think kind of made it better because I didn't know what I was getting myself in for. But it was amazing. Like, I never thought I'd get to experience Anfield like that and watch the game from, like, the seats that I watched it. It was amazing. Everyone was so welcoming, so lovely. It was, I'm never going to forget it because it was like the perfect day. Like, what more could I have asked for? Nothing, I don't think. So, Yeah.
And for Libby, you're not a Liverpool fan, but you're a football fan, obviously. So presumably, you know, you've enjoyed the day, you know, enjoyed seeing the game. And you know, as Ethan says, watching it from those seats is the best seat in the house.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been a season ticket holder for Huddersfield like all my life, but not to dislove Huddersfield or anything, but I've never seen atmosphere as good as sitting in the Liverpool stand. And like, we got loads of gifts as well, which was good. So now, like, my whole uni room's kitted out with Liverpool blankets and like scarves and posters. Yes.
All right. See, that's the bit we're going to clip, Libby. Really sorry. But... but, and on the day, we're like, presumably people were recognizing you. So when people were showing you to your seats, we're like, aren't you the guys from the Nivea video?
Yep. Yeah. They definitely did. And they definitely, they played the video. They played the video in the VIP room, which we didn't know they were going to do. So obviously then everyone starts looking around and looking at you and you're like, yep. Because the first one was like, can Libby and Ethan just put your hands up? And we were like,
oh, no.
And I kind of knew what was coming. But yeah, that was weird having everyone recognize you. That was an odd feeling.
Oh, fantastic stuff. Well, hopefully we can get you both back to Liverpool games soon, as long as it doesn't clash with Huddersfield. Obviously to Libby, and I thought it was a really nice touch as well on the day with the boards, and I know Nivea Men put the boards up to encourage people to donate, because the main reason we got you on today is to sort of keep that going, really. You know, it's been amazing sort of hearing your stories, but for you, Libby, seeing as I say, Nivea Men giving up their advertising space to sort of Andy Nolan on the day must have made it extra special.
Yeah, it was crazy. And even when it said, you know, like, welcome to Anfield, Ethan, on the signs around, I just thought that was so cool.
Yeah, again, I've never got that. maybe one day, I don't know, but as I say, you know, the fact that, you know, I think it was in the program and stuff like that, there was a real push around donations and things like that, Ethan on the day, which must have made it all extra special.
Yeah, the fact because I first saw it in the program when we got there, which was unbelievable, and then to go out and actually see it on the boards around the stadium when it's, you know, when everyone's in there, it was amazing, because I thought that's such a good way to promote it, which is, like I said, is the main reason for all this. Like, yeah, if we could keep it at the levels it's at now, that would be unreal.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And just sort of keeping that going. And now for you, Libby, obviously off to uni and everything, sort of, you know, your future to look forward to and things like that. First year, accommodation paid and things like that, you know, loads to look forward to, which is brilliant.
Yeah, no, I'm doing nursing at the minute. So I've just finished my first placement and I'm really enjoying it. So I've got 3 more years of this. And then hopefully I can qualify as a nurse.
Fantastic. And for you, Ethan, hopefully lots more trips to Anfield. Now we won, so you're allowed to come back. That is the rules.
Absolutely.
I was going to blame you. Alisson made a couple of mistakes in the game. And I was like, what's Ethan said to him?
Honestly, I literally couldn't stop thinking that. Because obviously after that game, after I went and filmed the video, was the West Ham game.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no. And when I saw the, you know, slipping all over the place, I was like, is it me? I could be a bad luck charm here. And that would really suck, because I really want to come back. But we won, so I can come back.
That's it. You're allowed to come back if they win. Guys, it's been so lovely to speak to you. It's really, thanks so much for sort of reliving both the day, original day at Anfield, and obviously the VIP experience as well. And we're all here, obviously, and we're doing this to keep pushing people to sign up as donors. So if you want to go to AnthonyNolan.org/NiviaLFC. So AnthonyNolan.org/NiviaLFC. Have a look. You can either become a donor, obviously, if you'd rather make a donation in terms of financial as well. They'd really appreciate that. And it does allow them to find much more beautiful matches like the one we've seen today. But guys, lovely to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank
really,
you so
really
much.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Really enjoyed it.
That was just a little insert from John Gibbons to remind everyone the gift subscriptions to the Anfield Wrap are still available right up to Christmas. We do fulfil them, even on Christmas Day morning. It always makes us laugh at a few come in very late on Christmas Eve. People realise they've forgotten to buy gifts or forgotten to get anything. So we do sort that out for you. So if you're looking for a last minute present for the Liverpool fan you know, or you've got an auntie or an uncle who really want to buy you something, you haven't been able to think of what, the Anfield Wrap subscription is a really good option. We sell 3, 6, and 12 month subscriptions to all our premium content, so you can get all the audio and all the video that the Anfield app are producing every day as the season hots up. A lot of games over Christmas, you're certainly going to get your money's worth if you just go to theanfieldapp.com/shop and then gift subscriptions. So click on gift subscriptions on the shop, you'll see the three options there, as I say, 3, 6, and 12 months. It's a brilliant gift either for yourself or for another Liverpool fan that you know. Hope you enjoy. Any questions, give us a shout. But as I say, no matter how late you get them, we will fulfil them for you, and there's no grasses here. Up the Reds. And it is John Gibbons for the Anfield Wrap. I'm delighted to be joined over Zoom now by Rebecca Pritchard from Anthony Nolan. So Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
So I guess if we could just start with a little bit more information on Anthony Nolan, the charity, why it was set up all the way back in the 1970s, and what it hopes to achieve.
Sure. So Anthony Nolan, we're a stem cell registered blood cancer charity. What we do is match life-saving strangers, people like Ethan, who are willing to donate their stem cells, with patients like Libby, who are in desperate need of a stem cell transplant to save their life. We were started nearly 50 years ago by Shirley Nolan, who was looking for a match for her son, Anthony. And Anthony sadly died, but his legacy has been a register now that is over 850,000 people who are willing to donate their stem cells to potentially save the life of a stranger, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely incredible. And I know people who know, funnily enough, from football as well, who've sort of benefited from the great work the past. And it is you know, genuinely sort of life-changing and an incredible, you know, organisation. You know, for you guys, you know, you say you're matching people. Is it, a constant kind of drive, if you like, to raise awareness of what you guys do, but also to encourage people best you can to sign up to the register?
Yeah, absolutely. So for someone with blood cancer or a blood disorder, stem cell treatment can be, a stem cell transplant, so it could be their last chance of survival. And around 5 people every day start looking for a matching donor, but we can only find a match for around 3 of those. So there's that need to really build our register of people so that we can find that match, that life-saving match for every patient who needs one. So we're always in need of more people to join the stem cell register. So we're really grateful when people like Ethan and Libby choose to share their story, because I think that really brings it home and raises some really great awareness of just how easy it is to make such a huge impact on someone's life.
Yeah, so obviously the reason we're talking to you, and the reason that Andy Nolan, you know, is in people's minds and you know, a little bit more is because of this fantastic story, the Nivea Dear Liverpool campaign that most people would have seen online. If you haven't, you know, pause this, go watch it, and then sort of come back, because it is incredible. What does this kind of thing that Nivea have done, and this kind of, you know, the social media buzz that comes at the back of it, what does that mean for an organization like yours?
I think it's really powerful when people share their personal stories like Ethan and Libby have. It's all very well for us to talk about the numbers, but to actually show that these are real people who are impacted, real patients like Libby who wouldn't be able to survive the blood cancer if it weren't for people like Ethan, who are waiting to save someone's life. So the story last week had a huge impact on our numbers. Within the first 24 hours, we had around 600 people apply to join the register. Usually we have around 100 a day. So that's kind of 6 times what we'd usually see, which is fantastic. We also saw 10 times as many men to apply to join the register, which is really great, because we particularly need young men to join the register. They're much more likely to be selected as donors, but they make up less than 20% of the register at the moment. So it was a real great boost to those numbers. The donors that we really need.
Yeah, so obviously there's a lot of young men that listen to the Anfield Wrap who would have been inspired by the story, will have heard what you said today. You know, if they're looking, you know, they want to try and make a difference and try and help save, you know, the next Libby, if you like, what is the best first steps for them to take?
So I'd really encourage anyone, particularly young men who are aged between 60 and up to your 31st birthday. So if you're between 60 and 30, if you're just in general good health, you can join the Anti-Nolan Register on our website. So I'd really welcome to have a look at the website, find some more information, loads of videos from other donors like Ethan explaining how it all works. If you do want to join the register, you can visit the website, antinolan.org, fill in an online form, and we'll send you a swab testing kit in the post. You swab your cheek and we'll send that sample off to our labs to identify what's called your tissue type. And that's what we match patients and donors on. And once you're on the register, you're staying until you're 61. So at any time during that period, you could get that call saying a patient somewhere in the world needs your help. And every time a patient like Libby is looking for a transplant, we'll automatically search that register for someone who matches them. So you don't need to worry. Once you're on the register, you're on, and we'll keep searching for those matches every day.
So in terms of the next process then, what happens, Rebecca, if you are sort of called to donate, if you like?
So if you are one of those young men who are aged 16 to 30, you've got about a 1 in 200 chance of being asked to donate your stem cells. And if you are called to be that match for that patient somewhere in the world, it's not the process that often people think it is. There are a lot of misconceptions around what stem cell donation involves. And 90% of people actually donate their stem cells through their blood. It's a really straightforward outpatient procedure where stem cells are taken directly from the bloodstream. And all of our donors say it's a really simple process. They might feel a bit tired for a few days, but it's a kind of a small price to pay for potentially saving someone's life. And there's lots of videos on our website you can see from donors donating and telling their story in a bit more detail. You can see them donating and can see them during the process as well. And hopefully that'll be reassuring.
Yeah, and as you say, you're making those matches every day, and I had a lovely sort of hour or so yesterday of going for your website because there's a story section, and obviously for us, you know, Ethan's a rock star, isn't he? He's a guy who did this incredible thing, and you know, he's great, but there's lots of other stories sort of on the website there that people can read about of people who've selflessly sort of, you know, wanted to sign up and have changed lives forever.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got some really amazing stories of people like Ethan and Libby meeting up years after the donation and seeing the impact they've had and keeping in contact, being best man at people's weddings. And yeah, some really incredible stories. But of course, for all of those really great stories, there are also stories of patients who can't find that match, which is why we do really need more people to be inspired to join the Anti-Nolan Register.
Absolutely. So we'd encourage everyone to look into it and do so. Rebecca Day has explained the process to you guys. Just before we finish, Rebecca, for the organisation then, as I say, you're matching lots of people on a day-to-day basis, but presumably for you, you were just the sort of emotional as us watching the Nivea Men video and seeing that moment when Ethan and Libby first came together, obviously with Alison Becker in the wings as well. It really was, I presume even for you guys, you know, you see stuff like this quite a lot, very special.
Yeah, absolutely. I know our staff, we see lots of different stories, but they're no less powerful for the number of stories that we see. And there were lots of messages back and forth. Obviously, we're all remotely working at the moment, but everybody watching it on their computers and crying for the emotion. And it's really great to see that the impact of the work that we're doing, but also to see that inspire so many people to hopefully join the register and potentially go on to save someone's life too in the future.
Absolutely. So the website is antinolan.org. That is antinolan.org. I encourage everyone to have a little look around, read a little bit more about the charity. It's an amazing story. As Rebecca says, over 50 years now since it's been set up, and you know, countless people in that time that it's helped. You know, you can read about the stories, you can read a little bit more about the process that Rebecca went through in detail. And just, yeah, if you are someone, especially in that category, 16 to 30-year-old males, especially if you are in that category, but obviously for everyone who wants to sort of sign up as a donor, and then hopefully, you know, you could be someone who's able to make a huge difference to someone's life in the future. But Rebecca, thanks so much for coming on, and have a lovely Christmas.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for having me.
So welcome back, and we are joined by Mike, by Ian, and by John. And Mike, the Leeds game being postponed, there's a lot in the comments, and I'll go through it a little bit. The first thing is that ultimately it's going to be frustrating that we're not going to get to watch a little bit of Boxing Day football. But this is just sort of the reality of the situation as it is at the moment. Leeds were already on the last legs with an injury crisis. It won't take that many COVID cases to get them under the numbers where they're unable to fulfil the fixture. Liverpool get a little bit more rest. we'll find out when the game's rearranged for. You know, at the minute, there's so many variables. I think we've got to try to at least take Leeds United's actions in good faith.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Leeds squad has been stretched for quite some time, not because of COVID, just because of injuries. I mean, the team that they fielded last week against Arsenal, they had like 16-year-olds on the bench. So there was always a possibility if they were struck with a few cases, and I think that's been obviously made quite clear. And obviously, they wouldn't be able to fill the fixtures they had coming up. And look, for us, obviously, a bit big team. We've had a lovely night last night, and we wanted to have a lovely night on Boxing Day. From a selfish perspective, it was a perfect time to play Leeds. They had no Bamford. Rafinha's their kind of main player at the moment. Calvin Phillips, I think he might be out, I'm not entirely sure, but they have, you know, injuries in key positions that meant that they were there for the taking on Boxing Day. Hopefully, it would have been a nice kind of day to go to Anfield and see Liverpool win again. So it is a big blow, but I do feel for Leeds, and I feel like the problem I've had with the COVID situation is that there's been a lack of transparency. We don't know what's going on. So with Leicester, for example, yesterday, I had no idea which players had maybe recovered from COVID, what had happened. And I'm not saying I'm entitled to that, but it does really help make things, like, you're able to have a bit more compassion for clubs if you know maybe who's missing and what's been the circumstances around the games being called off, because these games are literally being called off last minute in some cases, like literally 2 hours before kickoff. So it's obviously not ideal for traveling fans, not ideal for so many people. And that's what's irking me. But I think it's obviously really, really clear that they were in no position. Last week, there was a case you could make that they shouldn't have played last week's game. And obviously, like, this week, they've had a few COVID cases, and it's just unfair enough to play the game. But obviously, gutting fans who can't watch the Reds play on Boxing Day.
Yeah, I mean, there's a comment there from Pratik. I'd rather have points on the board than games in hand, and that is that is always true. Ian, games in hand are a bit of a nightmare. I never like seeing them creep up there. We've got already a 3-point gap to Manchester City. They play Leicester on Boxing Day, and we've just discovered that Leicester are dreadful card-carrying members of the Conservative and Unionist Party. So we can, you know, that will probably only go one way. There is within this, you know, that there will be a little bit of scoreboard pressure on Liverpool around this. And as Mike said, it would have been a good time to play Leeds in general. The one saving grace for Liverpool, and I would say for in general as an exemplar, it's the 23rd of December. That game's been cancelled for the 26th of December. So Liverpool can modify training arrangements accordingly, recovery arrangements accordingly. They can look after themselves a little bit, is what I'm saying, in preparation for that game against Leicester. And that is no bad thing, I think. They get to target that game against Leicester in a way that other sides haven't got that luxury, if we're honest about it.
I think that's really fair, Neil, and the fact that it is a few days notice. I mean, it does everyone a massive turn, to be honest. I mean, you don't want to be a Leeds fan and travelling on Boxing Day and finding out, you know, hours before the game that it's off. I remember going to a game at Villa Park a long, long time ago and on Boxing Day and getting there, different reasons, obviously, got called off. It's no bother to laugh at that. So it's been done in what you would say is probably the right spirit. Nice and early, it's up front. Obviously, the transparency thing that Mike mentioned, I think it's an important issue. So when Leicester talked about some of their issues maybe a week or two or so ago, they talked about 9 players, I think it was, not being available either through injury or COVID. And that always felt a bit wishy-washy and a bit woolly to me, that. And I think you do need a little bit more transparency on it, because it feels like one or two clubs might be getting away with it a little bit. I think it's fair to say. It certainly feels that way anyway, without having the kind of hard facts in front of us. You just get a feel for it, what people are saying online, what some of the journalists are coming out with. It does feel a little bit like that. But from Liverpool's point of view, I mean, Jürgen was very vociferous last night after the game, talking about the 26th and the 28th. He's no longer got that problem. He's able to go into that Leicester game, all being well, if it goes ahead, with a kind of fresh set of legs, I suppose. And maybe it would have, you know, maybe it would have changed what he put out against Leicester if he'd known this game was going to be postponed, because he's now got that little bit of a gap and that little bit of a break. But Liverpool should be fit and firing now. I think the only thing is it brings into play that Andy Robertson's now probably going to miss the Chelsea game, because of the postponements of the Leeds match. So that's now a thing where we won't have Robbo against Chelsea, which is a bit of a blow. But Tsimikas has done really, really well. But yeah, Liverpool have got time to be looking at this Leicester game. Now, I think from Leicester's point of view, it's interesting what they do, because they've now got the 26th and the 28th. What do they do against City? What do they do against Liverpool? You know, where are they putting their chips in this one? Because they haven't got a squad. We know they've got injuries. They're still missing players last night. They picked up two other injuries last night.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's the Pereira one, which, you know, if you look at that and you're being really honest about it, if there was VAR, I would have feared for Tyler Morton last night.
When he was going in for it, and I went red card. Before he even hit him, I went red card.
I mean, it's virtually waist high. I mean, it's fucking wild. he's done him big time. It's one of mine now. So he was out. He was out of control. But listen, you know, hopefully it falls for us. But I do agree with you, Neil. I don't like the fact that we're going to be a game behind and therefore potentially 6 points. It does feel like, yeah, of all the teams to be chasing, Man City's not a team that you really want to be chasing down, given what we've seen in recent weeks. So from that point of view, it's a bit of a blow. But Jürgen might just look at it and go, listen, we've got a little bit more rest here. We can really go into that Leicester game. And by the way, hopefully put them to the fucking sword, because yes, we knocked them out last night, but hopefully there's more where that came from.
Let's hope there is more where that came from. The thing on Leeds, John, I still think that one of the issues in amongst all of this is, you know, around the vaccination rates of the players at various clubs. The good thing that we all know about Leeds is, as a club, top to bottom, it's been publicised last couple of days, they've got 100% vaccination rate. So they've done everything they can, and they seem to have a strongly sort of responsible attitude towards it. So I think, from Liverpool's point of view on this one, I think we do have to presume good faith. I think there are aspects of bad faith responses, i.e. if a club's vaccination rate is nowhere near high enough on the one hand. On the other hand, if clubs are just having a little look and thinking, you know what, might suit us not to play this one, and they're managing to sort of get round the Premier League sort of panel on it, you do worry about that. But I think for Leeds, I think we do. And listen, if there was any reason to find any way to doubt the city of Leeds in any way, shape or form, I would be all over it. I would be absolutely all over it. But in this instance, I think you have to presume good faith around this Leeds team.
Yeah, I think you've got to put yourself in someone else's shoes in these situations and say, well, if we were Leeds United and we were Leeds fans or involved in the football club or whatever, and we had their injury list, and then suddenly you've got COVID cases on top of that, then what sort of football team are you able to put out, you know, in this game? I was going to say against a team like Liverpool, but against anyone in the Premier League, really, you know, they're really struggling to put any sort of team out, really, without throwing kids on. You know, there's I think they were the ones who had a 15-year-old on the bench, didn't they?
Yeah.
Recently, and so, you know, you're starting him, aren't you? Basically, if things have worsened since then, and
him or Lee Chapman, toss a coin.
yeah, you got it. You're 15 or 50. Which way do you go? Which way do you go on it? You know what I mean?
And, 61 half an hour of the other, John. That's what I'd do. Chapman to see it out.
Chapman's elbows, fucking hell. No one needs that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not right. So the only body like that you want to see dished out over Christmas is on the board games, isn't it? You know what I mean? on Christmas Day with your family. So I mean, you've got to be fair and say you were in a tough position. If it's got tougher, then it is. And I'm sure, you know, there's other games. It's not the first game that's been called off, has it? And some of the other ones sounded a little bit dodgier to me when you're hearing about players who've not been vaccinated having to sort of isolate because of that. Really doesn't sort of sit right with me personally. But on this one, it does look like something where nothing can really be helped. And I think that's what the Jürgen and the boys will accept as well.
They will indeed accept it. So there'll be no game against Leeds United. Loads of good comments, by the way, coming all the way through on the live, all the way through here. A lot of people sort of thinking bring it on in January. Haven't seen what the boys are capable of. Others feeling a little bit like, yeah, obviously we don't want to have too many games in January when we haven't got Salah Mané and Naby Keita. For me, the truth of that's sort of halfway in the middle. Simply, I think, from the point of view of, you know, what I think that with the quality that we can show with the likely run of fixtures we've got, that's absolutely fine. But Salah Mané and Naby, they obviously have enormous quality, but they're also additional bodies who have a certain level of quality, and the idea of limiting your rotation options will make it a little bit tougher from that sort of thing. But, you know, loads and loads of really, really good comments all the way through. Thank you very much to them. Thanks very much indeed to Anthony Nolan and to Nivia and John for doing all of that work there. Rebecca, Libby and Ethan as well. Thank you very much to Andy Heaton for producing. Thanks to Mike Bankhall and to Ian Ryan for the show. John Gibbons as well on the show. A pleasure as ever. Fantastic stuff all the way through. But just thank you very much indeed to Liverpool Football Club, who yet again managed to deliver one of their weekly football miracles to send us all into Christmas with one hell of a spring in our steps. They are absolute gentlemen. They are a set of superstars, and trust me, We could not be luckier to have them.
Sports Social Podcast Network.